I want to just make a little notice of just how good he is. Y'all can be seated. Everybody except for one person. We've been waiting for this day for a long, long time, Anna Harris. Amen. We've been waiting for this day. Amen. Amen. Wow. If you are kind of clueless, you gonna do that? All right, thanks. If you don't know this story, yes, thank you. It's the most amazing story of God's healing power. When the doctors say a word, God says, I gotta prove them wrong. The word that the doctor said was, it's impossible for her to live. That was what they said. The doctor said, it's impossible for her to live. And that was all just a little over a year ago. And there was almost a full year in which she has just, this whole family has just been continuing to draw near to the Lord and continue to seek his power and his healing. And he has done it. Amen. He has done it. Amen. She's been in Ohio at the transplant hospital. If you don't know the story, Miss Anna, she had Eliana premature, and yet the Lord blessed that. And then shortly thereafter developed blood clots in which her small intestine died. And doctors say, well, it's impossible for her to live. And the small intestine is dead. And they said she won't make it through the night. Well, she made it through a whole lot more than one night. Amen. Amen. I almost think that sometimes those statements just get God fired up. I say, ain't nothing impossible with God. Amen. Ain't nothing impossible with God. I want to start. I want to ask you this question. Have you ever had such an amazing meal? You just don't forget that meal. Now, it could be the food. I mean, I've had some pretty good food that I said, man, I ain't going to forget that food. Could have been the company. Could have been the location. I remember Christy and I sitting there in Venice beside the little canal and the little boats going by. And just an amazing location, amazing setting. I was being smooth. That's what was going on. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm working it. we've had some amazing meals in amazing locations, and I've had some meals with some amazing company, and which none better than Christy. And sometimes it's just the food, but there are those meals that you just won't ever forget that one. I want to look at some meals in the scriptures that we are going to call back to memory. And the first one is Genesis chapter 3. First one is Genesis chapter 3, and when God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and said, you get everything, it's all yours, except for this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They did not need the knowledge of good and evil. They needed intimacy with God. And as long as they were walking with him, he would direct away from evil and direct toward good. Amen? They didn't need, and so Satan comes along, the serpent, verse 4, Genesis 3 and verse 4. And the serpent said to Eve, you'll not surely die. God said, don't eat of this tree, the knowledge of good and evil, it will bring death. Satan says, you're not going to die. Look how he entices. For God knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Of course, this is the fall of man when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and though God said don't, they did. And they got what they wanted, but they didn't want what they got. Right? They got what they wanted. Eve said, there's three things. It looks good, it's going to taste good, and it's going to do good. It's going to do good things for me. And so what it actually did is it gave them a knowledge that they couldn't come back from, a knowledge that they didn't need to have. And because of their disobedience, sin happened. They went from a perfect state of unity with the Father. They were in fellowship with God. They were in this perfect atmosphere. And they chose to do what God said don't. And because of that, sin entered into them. The fall of mankind happened. Sin entered into the world. And because they ate that food, you ate that food. We all inherited a sin nature. And so indirectly, we were all there at that meal that day. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we look at this passage of scripture and we're reminded that there was perfection, but because of rebellion, that unity was broken, that sweetness was separated, and then we have the fall of man. We can focus on good, and we can focus on evil. We could spend the rest of our life searching out the scriptures and searching out this world, and it is very obvious after this week there's evil in this world, right? Absolute evil. And we could get our attention on those things, but here's what he said. No, here's the better way, is just focus on God. Make sure that you're in intimate relationship and fellowship with the Lord. We can spend our life seeking out good and trying to distinguish good from evil, but when you are in unity with God, you know what's good and what's evil. You just know what's good and what's evil. So let's make that our goal. I want to just be near the Lord. I just want to be near the Father. And now I want to look at that's the first meal to remember. I want to look at the second meal, and that is the meal of Passover. I'm not going to take you through the scriptures, but there in the book of Exodus, we know the story. The nation of Israel is in slavery in Egypt, and they've been there for about 400 years, and they begin crying out to the Lord, asking for him to deliver them. And he does it with a meal, interestingly enough. He says, I want you to take the lamb, and each family takes a lamb, and you're going to sacrifice that lamb and put the blood over the door of your home. And when the death angel comes through Egypt, it will see that blood and pass over you. Now, we know now, looking back, that lamb represents Jesus, and that his blood saves us. And so here's this picture. You sacrifice the lamb and apply the blood, and the blood will deliver you from death. The blood will bring you deliverance, and the blood will divert disease. Interestingly enough, this meal that they took that night, they took this meal and they cooked the lamb. It said it must be roasted on a fire. Why? Because there's pictures involved. They can't freestyle. They can't get in there and decide, well, I want to cook this a little different. Now, each one was told exactly how to cook this lamb. Why? Because this lamb represented Jesus. He said it was to be roasted with fire, which is a representation of the judgment. Judgment. Here's the thing. Jesus took sin from us. Jesus took death from us because he took death for us. And that lamb represented Jesus. He's to be roasted with fire, not boiled in water. And I like that part because I don't think the gospel ought to be watered down. Amen. Jesus took the judgment of God upon himself so that we wouldn't have to. And that's the gospel. Adam and Eve ate of a meal, and it cost them a relationship with God. And then here comes this another meal, this meal of Passover, and there's so many pictures tied into it, we won't get into every one of them, but remember, he says, with that meal will come your deliverance. And so eat that meal, and they were told how to eat it, with their robe tucked in their belt and their staff in their hand. Why? Because you figured get out of here. You figured get out of here. It was a picture of salvation. Salvation can come in an instant. For those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And you don't have to work your way into salvation. When we call upon God, he says immediately, get out of that past lifestyle. We're crossing over, never to come back again. Amen. Amen. So that is another meal to remember. And then Jesus, in remembering that meal, gave us this meal, the third meal, and we call it communion or the Lord's Supper. There in the upper room, he has his disciples with him, and he is talking to them about the Passover meal, and he says, but I'm going to bring it into a new light today. I want you to look with me to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 22 and verse 19, or verse 29. No, 19. I'll get it right in a second. Luke 22, 19, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So this is a command. Jesus says, I want you to do this. And it wasn't just to the 12 that were there in that upper room, but it was to us. And so he commands it here in Luke chapter 22. And then he goes on to say, likewise also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Now, I grew up understanding the blood part, be flat honest. I understood that. I was taught the gospel at a young age, and I understood that by the shedding of the blood, salvation comes. That's a loud truck. And that through the shedding of the blood of the Lamb, there was salvation, and that I recognized that that was part of that communion. But there was the other part that I missed for so long, and that was the first part. He says, my body, and my body is broken for you. And there was a purpose to that. When we take communion every Sunday, and you're sitting there thinking, we hadn't taken communion yet. Some of y'all are thinking, I'm confused. We do it every week. We hadn't taken communion. We're about to. When we take of that body, we are reminded what it says in Isaiah 53, that by his stripes we're healed. Also, if we go back to that original passage that I accidentally missed, it's Psalm 105, verse 37, describing that Passover meal, because all of those pictures lead forward to communion. It says, also, he brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among their tribes. Now, that's crazy. Just think about it. They were 400 years in slavery, being beaten and worked, their fingers to the bone. They aged just like everybody else, but probably faster. And after that meal, it said they left that Egypt, and there wasn't anybody. How many of y'all seen the Ten Commandments ever? Easter, Charlton Heston. Y'all remember the little guy on the crutch and the old woman on the cart? All right, Hollywood got it wrong. Hollywood got it wrong. Imagine that. I know it's hard to believe. Hollywood got it wrong. Because in this passage of scripture, it says there was none feeble among them. There wasn't no crutches. There wasn't no carts having to be ridden. No matter what the age, that meal brought a healing power to it, and it still does today. Amen? Still does today. We have some today who need a healing. Well, the Lord ignited my understanding of communion in the fall of 2019. And then when you kind of know what happened in 2020, something happened in 2020 called COVID. And he enlightened me to this scripture and to the depth of what communion does. And it's not just the blood, it is also the bread. And there is healing in this meal. When you apply faith to the action, there's healing in this meal. And the Lord spoke to me on this, and he said, I'll make a distinction with you, Sand Springs, just like I did with Israel. There was a distinction between Israel and Egypt. Why? Because they applied the blood, and they were all safe. They were all safe. This church, we did not lose one person of those who would gather together and take communion together. Not one died of COVID. Amen? Not one. In fact, a little bit afterwards, we were headed to Israel. It just came to my mind thinking about COVID and God's healing power. We were headed to Israel, and lo and behold, the week of, I catch COVID. And I remember, I don't get sick that often, but when I'm due, I'm pretty sure I'm sicker than anybody on the planet. And so when I got COVID, I was sick. And I go to the doctor, and we're getting ready to fly out to Israel that week. And we have a group going with us. I think it was 35 people. And we go to the doctor and say, you got COVID. So I can't have COVID. And how long did it take you to get over it? About 13 days. Well, we fly out on Friday. And so our travel agent said, well, we got to know something on Thursday. So it was Tuesday that I went to the doctor. The Tuesday they said you have COVID. Praise God for a believing doctor. And they said, you go home and pray about it. Well, it was actually Wednesday that I went to the doctor. Tuesday I got it. Wednesday I went to the doctor. We called our church on Wednesday night. Christy and I come home, and guess what we did? We took communion. And our church gathered up on Wednesday night, and they prayed that I would be healed. Wednesday night, I soaked the bed with sweat. And I woke up feeling better than I ever had in my entire life. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Now, I don't know if it was when our church prayed or when Christy and I took communion together, but we got a lot of testimonies in the church of couples taking communion together and God healing. A lot of testimonies. But that next day, we had to go to the doctor, because I'm not going to lie to an airline and say I don't if I do. And can't fly with COVID. So I go to that doctor visit that day, and they do the swab, and we're waiting and waiting, because that's the day we have to tell the travel agent, that day, you going or not? Because if I don't, we already had some says, if he don't, I don't, and all it would all just kind of be rough. I wouldn't plan on sending my wife to Israel without me. So you can imagine there was a lot of prayer. And then we get a knock on the door, and the entire doctor's office is standing at our door. The whole office. And they said, it came back negative. Amen. Amen. I'm the only guy I know that had COVID for 3 days. And God healed me of it. But that's what he does. That's what he wants to bring his healing. And when that initial meal and they ate of that fruit of the tree, the product of that tree brought separation and death, brokenness. But then when broken people come to another tree called the cross and we eat of the product of that tree, Jesus' death on that cross took the brokenness, the separation, and brought us back to God again. Amen. Brought us back to God. And so from the product of one tree that Satan said, that'll give you life, it brought death. But another tree called the cross, they said, that's the tree of death. And guess what it brought? It brought life. Amen. It brought life. As Jesus is describing the transition from Passover meal to communion, he says, this bread, it represents my body. Now, that's the interesting thing about making bread. I ain't ever done it, for one, but Miss Emily Passmore makes amazing bread. My goodness, she brought me some bread. And if anybody ever wants to do that, I'm open. And just in case y'all have forgotten, some of you have forgotten, my favorite pie is coconut. Chill. Anyway, coconut cream pie. I used to come to my office every now and then. There'd be a coconut cream pie on my desk. And hadn't seen one in some time, so I thought I'd mention that. But just thought I'd make note of that. But could be why I had to have cholesterol tests all the time. I'm not sure. But Miss Emily Passmore took the actual kernels of grain and ground them and made bread. And it was amazing bread. You see, when you make bread, there's a crushing involved. There's a crushing involved. To make bread, you're going to have to crush the grain. To make wine, you're going to have to crush the grape. To make bread, you have to crush the grain. And to make wine, you have to crush the grape. And Jesus says, this is my body, and it's been crushed for you. It's been broken. See, he commanded in the Gospels, Mark and Luke, Matthew, Mark and Luke. And then we see it, he commanded it, and then he clarifies it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, for I received from the Lord, He's saying, I got this from Jesus himself. That which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. We know the crushing that took place there in that Garden of Gethsemane. That crushing as he was on the cross, that crushing of his soul as he was under the weight of our sin and the separation between he and the Father. It was a crushing. But that's what happens if you're going to make bread. That's what happens when you're going to make wine. There's a crushing. And he said, when you take of this bread, remember me. Let's look at verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And then he said, this is a meal to remember. I need you to take this meal and remember something. Remember that I gave my body for your body. I gave my body for your body. You see, an interesting thing about eating, when it comes to eating, whether it's plant or animal, something has to die so that someone can live. I usually get my salad secondhand. My food eats salad, so I get salad secondhand. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but whether it be plant salad or animal, deer, quail, fish, gone, cows, something had to die so that I would get nourishment, satisfaction, sustaining power. Something has to die so that someone can live. Jesus is no thing, but he is someone, and he died so that we can live. Amen? He said, my body's crushed so that your body could be made whole. And then he goes on to clarify in verse 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This cup, this cup of wine, it is a picture of the blood. It is the new covenant. See, there was an old covenant where all things had to come under the blood. It was not sanctified. It was not made holy. It had not been set apart if it had not been touched with blood. And then Jesus says, there's a spiritual thing that happens when you, by faith, consider my blood that I poured out for your salvation. So his body was for our bodies, and his life was for our lives. His blood was for our salvation. And so here we have this picture of this meal, and he says, I need you to eat this meal and remember. Now I have meals that I remember, but then I have this meal, and it's to remember. Amen. A meal to remember. And then he says in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. I want to go back to the Luke passage. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 29. Luke 22 and 29. So this meal also causes us to remember that there's a meal yet to come. There's a meal yet to come. I'm looking forward to this meal. Chapter 22, verse 29. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me. Amen. I'm giving you a kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. I'm giving it to you, child of God, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. One of these days, there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. One of these days. Now, I wasn't there personally for that first meal there in the Garden of Eden. I was indirectly, and so were you. I wasn't there personally at the Passover meal. But then Jesus tied that Passover meal into the meal of communion, and we do this once a week to remember. But I'm also reminded, called to remember, that there's going to be a meal one day, and I don't want to be missing that meal. I don't want to miss that meal. Amen. I know you can look at me and say, he ain't missed many meals anyhow. But that's one meal I'm not going to miss. And if you are a child of God, you won't either. Amen. You won't miss that meal either. It's going to be a heavenly meal. Jesus took death from us by taking death for us. When we receive him, that which was lost in the first meal is restored. So let's just talk real briefly, on what it is to receive Jesus. When we take of communion, I hope that you understand that we try and keep it fresh as we, I don't mean the elements, because sometimes I take of that juice and I'm like, how old is that? Mm. But we try to keep it fresh and reminding ourselves. It's not just routine and repetition. It's a reminder. And if it continues to be, if we just keep saying the same things and doing the same things, it becomes routine and repetition. And when it does that, it loses its strength, because we need to be reminding ourselves, no, there's power in this meal when I apply faith to it. Faith without action is dead. Faith without works is dead. But action with faith is powerful. There are some actions that have been described and commanded in the scriptures that when we do, it has powerful effect. We had baptisms last Sunday. I pray that each person that got baptized realized, no, there's some spiritual significance to this. Things changed that day. And when you apply faith to action, there's powerful effects of it. So when you do this, it's not a joke. It's not fun. That would be the unworthy manner that's described of in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is not just, you know, crazy stuff that people do. No, we apply our faith reminding ourselves Jesus died on that cross and he took stripes on his back so that my body can be made whole. And not just this physical body, but my entire being. That my soul can be made whole. The emotional part of me, the rational part of me, he said, I came for all of that. Came to heal every part of you. Relationally, I came to heal everything. So when I take of that bread, I'm reminded, this is a healing bread. Now, to be flat honest, we're not even real sure that is bread. We're not sure. Brother Yancey says he thinks it's that little thing on the top of a ketchup bottle. I'm not sure. I think he might be right. We're not real sure. But the product itself is not as important as the faith of the follower. Looking unto Jesus, reminding ourselves, he did this for me. And by faith, I will be made whole. Amen. And then looking at that juice, we're reminded of the wine that was poured in the cup that day and reminded of his blood. And recognizing it is by his blood, his death, that I'm saved. And I don't have to fear judgment. I don't have to fear hell because he took it for me. Because he took it for me, he took it from me. And by faith, I lay hold of that salvation. Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. Miss Kirsten's going to come up. We're going to have communion right now. And maybe you're here and you've never been saved. And man, I can't think of a better day than today. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead you in a prayer of salvation. Things are a little out of the ordinary, and I like out of the ordinary. I like to keep things fresh. So I'm going to lead you in a salvation prayer. Because here's what my belief is. I believe you shouldn't take this until you have been saved. It doesn't really mean much to you. That's why the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 11, let each person examine themselves. So let's just go ahead and examine ourselves. I want to ask you the question, do you know that you know that you know that Jesus is your Savior? Have you put your faith in Jesus? Do you fear death and hell and judgment? Or do you recognize all of that has been handled at the cross and you have laid hold of it because you called upon the name of the Lord, saying, you are my Lord. And I receive you, just like eating, drinking. I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I make you my master. If you've never done that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You can pray this in your heart. And we'll give you an opportunity, and I believe this is absolutely essential, that you confess with your mouth. I promise you, we will not embarrass you, but we'll give you an opportunity to come forward and make it known. But why not settle this now so that we can all take communion in obedience? So pray this prayer in your heart with me. Father God, I know that I've sinned. I have a broken relationship with you. I know that I'm a sinner. But I thank you that you so love me, you sent Jesus. And thank you, Jesus, that you so love me that you came on a rescue mission for me. And then you allowed them to beat you and whip you, pluck out your beard and peel off your flesh, nail you to a cross. You did it because you love me. I don't want to deny that any longer. I want to receive you as my Savior and make you my Lord. So I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, will you save me? And then I, Eric, can just tell you, he always says yes. He always says yes. So while you continue in this prayer, Lord, will you be my Savior? And I will make you my Lord. Forgive me of my sins. I'm now yours. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and maybe you hadn't done that before, or maybe you didn't grasp it before, but now you have, I would invite you to join us in communion. As we take of this meal, Kirsten is going to lead us.
Hi. The whole time that we've, like, from the beginning of service, from worship, I've just been so grateful for the nearness of God. His presence is so thick in here. And I couldn't get away from the fact that I get to know him as King of Kings, and I get to know him close and intimate and personal. And so the scripture that was coming into my mind today was Ephesians 2, 12 through 13. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now, you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. Are you so grateful? We have hope in Jesus. In the darkness of this world, we have a hope that is greater than all of these things. And we were separated, but he's brought us close to him. And so, as you get ready to take your bread and the cup, I'm just going to pray. So first, Lord, I thank you for the bread of your body. I thank you that it was broken so that we could be made whole, so that we could enter into your very presence and know you. So Lord, we thank you for your body. We thank you that it's brought life to us, Lord. And this is life, to know you. Thank you, God. And Lord, we thank you for your, we just thank you for your blood. We thank you that through it we have been brought near. Lord, that it has forgiven our sins and it has washed us clean, that we get to enter into the presence of God, holy and blameless and without fault, that we get to know you intimately and personally, and we get to know you as King of Kings, as Lord of Lords. So we love you and we praise you and we thank you that your blood and your body didn't miss a thing. In Jesus' name, amen.
So as you took that bread, if you came here sick today, I pray that as you took that bread, you said, man, Jesus, his flesh was torn for my flesh. And so he said in Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. Later on in the New Testament, he says, by his stripes we have been healed. So you just lay hold of that promise. Say, Lord, thank you for your healing. I receive it by faith in Jesus. Now, we're going to all stand together. We're going to have a prayer team come forward. I said I'd give you an opportunity to come and share with somebody. Our prayer team will be down at the front, and you can simply come and say, I prayed that prayer with Pastor Eric today. I gave my life to Jesus today. That would make me so happy. But better than that, the Bible says all the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner turned to Christ. Amen. You know who smiles the biggest? I think it's Jesus. He said, my sacrifice wasn't for nothing. I pursued them with my love, and they received it and called upon me for salvation. Also, We know that there's five things that a church ought to be doing, and that's sharing that gospel message that people can get saved. The other part is he wants us to see that people's souls get healed. We could have soul wounds that haunt us for the rest of our lives, and we will try and medicate those wounds with different various things. But you know who could absolutely heal them? Jesus can. And we would invite you to come and pray with our prayer team. Man, it just happens more powerfully when we come together in prayer. He said, I've come to heal their soul, deliver them from bondage, heal their body. We kind of talked about that a little bit today, and restore their lives. And so any of those areas that you need God to touch in your life, come and visit with our prayer team now. And so we want to have a time of worship, a time of singing. Maybe you just want to come and pray. Maybe you want to come pray with our prayer team. So as we sing, you move.